point.
I would ask to ask you to turn off your cell phones. And I want to begin with a PowerPoint presentation. But as always, if it doesn't seem to work, we'll usually comfortable enough to begin with that. So we'll see. Just a line from one of my favorite poets, Hentozake Shange, in the poem A Train. She has a line that says, "Where is the train supposed to take us if I don't know where I'm supposed to go?" And as we begin this talk today, we want to give you a hint of some of the data, or at least tell us where we are, and then help shape where we have to go with our kids. We can start by telling you that at the end of college, if we look at six-year graduation rates, 30% of the African-American men who went to college make it through in 6 years, 34%. That's compared to 62% of their Asian counterparts, 42% of their Latino counterparts, 36% of their Native American peers, and 56% of their white peers. All too often in K-12 and higher ed, we celebrate getting them in, and we forget about what it looks like to get them out. We might ask some important questions, and one question again starts with, why might this be so? As we send our children off to college, the data suggests to us that they're really not prepared. And when we look at NAEP data suggests that when African American students graduate high school, they read, they write, they do mathematics equivalent to white eighth graders. That's a gap. And again, if we're getting them into college and we're celebrating they're getting into college, chances are they may not have had the preparation to go out of college. That just doesn't start at the end of high school. And again, there is that incredible gap of students writing. At the age of eighth grade white students, not at the end of high school students. NAEP data suggests to us also that it starts at fourth grade when we look at NAEP data reading scores, when we look at NAEP data math scores. At the bottom are African American boys. Right above African American boys, from the bottom are Hispanic boys. Those of us who are teaching African American boys, we come up with a whole host of reasons why this just might be so. But when we ask adults why, they say our students are too poor, our students don't have enough books in their houses, our students don't have enough parents in their houses, they don't care, and they don't have a college going culture. When we ask the students why this might be so, the students say some teachers don't know their subject matter, counselors underestimate our potential, principals dismiss our concerns, and the expectations are incredibly low. I want to read to you just a portion of a journal that came from a student from Central Philadelphia. This is a couple of years ago, and I was doing some work in that school in the area of professional development. There was a classroom that was loaded with African-American boys and African-American girls. Very little writing, very little reading. I was told they couldn't read, therefore they couldn't write. Here's a journal. The book I read was about, like, a big group of men trying to get this white girl. And they were fighting the white girl. If they picked up a regular girl, that was cool. But they were looking for this white girl. There were two roommates. One was white, one was black, but not black, but light-skinned. And this is a good book to read because this is just an interesting book to read. I never read the book. I actually saw the movie. Imagine then how this goes into the stage or journal of writing. We celebrate this because, again, if we go in with no expectations, we think this is the best he can do. We're just so happy that he put pen to paper, pretends to read a book, betrays himself, tells us that he sees a movie, and we go on and we celebrate. What we at the Education Trust say is that this is absolutely educational malpractice. And we also have a saying at the Trust that says kids can do no better than the assignments they're given. We give them low-level assignments, they will rise to the occasion. We give them quality assignments with the right supports, they will indeed rise to the occasion. What we know to be true is that some students get better teachers than others. Some get more time than others. Some get much more challenging curriculum than others. And some students are held to a higher standard than others. We have a slide from Dallas data, that shows us third grade. And if you can imagine these students in this grade starting at the same spot. 3 years of good teachers in a row, what happens? They move up 20 points. Kids starting at the same level, 3 years of ineffective teachers in a row, and this is what breaks my heart, they don't even stay in the same place. They actually lose ground. We know what we need to do. We can do this much, much better. The Dallas data is elementary school data. We also have some high school data from Boston that surprisingly says the same thing. If we put students in classrooms where people don't know algebra, then they don't learn algebra. If we put students in classrooms that themselves don't have a love for the history and the language arts, then they won't read well, they won't write well, they won't be motivated to follow those career paths. When we look at some data from California, Long Beach, and generally when we think of California, there's a great line in one of my favorite short stories by James Allen McPherson, who talks about two characters, husband and a wife. Both eventually run out to California, because theoretically California is the place where the diversity slows down the racism. That which happens on the East Coast has got to work its way before it gets there. The reality of it, though, is that that's not always true. We went to the school in California, Long Beach, California, and they did a study for us. And what they found was that repeatedly African-American students were placed in the lower tracks compared to other students. They felt that this was only on the anecdotal level, and they wanted to see what this looked like when they really looked hard at how the counselors were placing students. So they looked at African-American students who had scored in the top percentile of their class. Lo and behold, compared to the Asian students, compared to the white students, they were not put in the AP classes. They were put either in the middle level or in the lower level. But the scientists take this one step further, so they look at what happened to the kids who were in the second quartile, and they realize that Asian students and white students scoring in the second quartile were placed more quickly than African-American students who were in the top quartile. We know what we're doing, and we can do better if we decide to change. Now, there was this one school in Jefferson County, Kentucky, when they had to deal with what they were doing to their students, they decided that they would get rid of the lowest track in all their classrooms, all their schools, all the grades got rid of the lowest tracks. And in 1 year, what they found was African Americans who were absent in chemistry, who were absent in physics, who were absent in the AP levels, jumped. And you know what else they also found? Was when they put the students in these classrooms, they would rise to the occasion. Why? Because kids can do no better than the assignments they're given. What they also found out is the dirty little secret that we also know. Those who teach the most challenging courses are usually the teachers who are the most experienced. Those who are the most experienced are usually the people who know their content that much better. What do we continue to do? We put the teachers who are the least experienced with the kids who need the most. And we continue to wonder why we don't have the growth. In Jefferson County, when they changed this, they found that African American students pretty much closed the gap when it came to looking at what the white students were doing in the same classrooms. We have good news all over. Mount Vernon, New York. When they realized that they were just doing a lousy job with black students, African American males in particular, got rid of the bottom track, began to teach everybody the high levels. In this middle school called Lincoln Elementary School, they literally closed the gap. Black boys, black girls rising to the occasion, proving that they could read and write as well as any of their counterparts. The data is so important because when we look at the data, we can see what the problems are, but we can also dispel some of the myths. We can look at some states and see that some states are outperforming other states. We can look at African American Latino performance, say, in Virginia, and notice that some of the students there who are of color are outperforming some white students in neighboring states. Again, just dispelling the myths, saying that if we work hard at this, we can close gaps and we can get movement. Those of you who know anything about this area know that Fairfax is one of the wealthiest counties in this area. And we know it isn't just a situation of building capacity. It's not just a situation of whiteness. It's not just putting our African-American children in schools that are wealthier and that are whiter. How do we know this to be true? But when we look at some of the data in Fairfax County, again, one of the richest counties in the country, and we compare their performance to African-American students in other parts of Virginia, we discover that African-American students in Richmond are outperforming African-American students in the more wealthier Fairfax County. There's something wrong there. We know what we need to do, and we can really begin to change things if we push it. More good news, Centennial Place in Atlanta, an elementary school scoring in the top 2% of the state African-American performance, boys and girls. When you talk to the principal and you say, what are you doing special for the kids? She pretty much says, just making sure all of them learn, teaching the high standards, holding them accountable, and giving them support to do better. We can change things, and we know if we reach them in K through 12, that when they enter your Howard class, you won't have to work so hard. But we also know that they are coming your way, and when they do come your way unprepared, we can't act like everybody else and say that you never really belong here. We've got to figure out how to show up that real nation, how to give the right support so that students can make it through. Why? Because the data tells us when students enter our university halls needing roughly more than 2 remedial classes in reading, they might not make it through. And if they need 3 to 4 remedial courses in others, the other subjects, the more remedial courses, they just might not make it through. We can change that. We can begin to ask ourselves, what does the reading look like on that university level? We can begin to work with the schools that are in our area, as you've heard, the universities and the schools around, creating those partnerships, creating a sense of alignment, so that in this new culture, we're not just trying to get kids to pass an assessment, but we're also trying to make sure that their education is aligned to higher education,
so when they actually graduate, they have a diploma that means something, and we're not walking around knowing that African-American boys, on average, are scoring equivalent to eighth-grade white students. We're not looking them dead in the face and giving them a diploma and saying, you did really well for 12 years, and inside our hearts saying, your last 4 years were almost a total waste. We know somewhere along the line is a hard conversation to have, but have them we must. We also know that we can no longer do it on an individual level, because I'm going to argue that any of us in here who know that our students are struggling, we have a little bit extra to sort of pay for this on the side or to pull them out. I did that with my son, and I realized that he was no longer this tall, but had become this tall. He had gone from cute to intimidating. He had gone from the top of the SLLs in mathematics to a math dummy. We pulled him in no time flat. Put him in a smaller school, and they said he hadn't been taught well, and that probably he didn't belong in algebra. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll give him information, we'll assess him in the first 3 weeks, and we'll figure out where he belongs. They did that, and they figured out that he belonged in algebra. We know we can do it better. We know there's something else going on. Centennial Place, Loveview High School, those are schools that are closing gaps. Doing it, and we need only find out how. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, how are you?